To quote Professor Stuart Cunningham from the Queensland University of Technology, social media platforms such as Facebook have richly earned our distrust. Platforms like Facebook and YouTube are in a rush to regulate their content, but Stuart warns they must be careful not to do so too hastily. Professor Cunningham joins us now. Good morning.
Hello there, Tom.
So why do you think so much trust has been lost between users and social media platforms recently?
Well, Tom, I mean, this is the story of the year. It's a story of several years, really. I mean, running from the 2016 presidential election through to the fact that we now know that that Russian influence in that election. We know that 87 million Facebook accounts were hacked by a company called Cambridge Analytica with a view to being able to target more effectively pro-Trump voters or voting intentions in that election. And as well as that, this thing called the adpocalypse, which arose when it was became clear through investigative journalists' work that mainstream advertising was being placed next to extremist neo-Nazi sometimes video work, that led to a massive crackdown on what's called automatic or programmatic advertising, the problems arising from the algorithm matching advertising with content rather than humans. So there's been just a succession of debacles and disasters on the part of the big platforms that have really thrown them into great disrepute and social media users' distrust.
And how were these issues first identified? I don't believe they were identified in-house by these platforms.
Well, no. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg went before Congress a couple of weeks ago and said sorry for the, I believe, the 10th time about some of the internal governance problems at Facebook. And it's now reached a stage where governments like the US government, which are extremely loath to add regulatory burdens to these big, powerful US companies, are now baying for the platform's blood.
So how have they addressed these concerns so far?
Well, at this stage, the situation is that, yes, there have been various tightening. There's been a lot of tightening up of regulatory intention. Certainly in Europe, there have been some big cases of fines for anti-competitive activity, for right to privacy, and so on. But there's also been, it's really only the early days of this big regulatory push, both in the US and in other parts of the world.
Now, looking at, we mentioned the Russian interference in the US election, but the platforms like Facebook and also Twitter have been used for a lot of hashtag movements and the like. How have we seen these social platforms sort of evolve to this stage where they're affecting politics and social change?
Well, Tom, this is the main point I want to make, which is that, of course, these big platforms need to be reined in. They've got really serious governance issues that impact upon millions of people worldwide. But the big point is that they are also a place where real social movements can take place, where real influence for social good can occur. And the outstanding example, I think, was, you know, the terrible disaster, yet another shooting in the US at Parkland in Florida. And the students themselves rose up using social media, marched on Washington, established a powerful network of new voices, young people saying, demanding that enough is enough with gun violence. And This may, although under Trump it's unlikely, but it may have the capacity to shift the dial somewhat on gun control in the US. It's young people with those kinds of voices that are new in this debate. So I give that as a great example of, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater as we rush to regulate these platforms, because we know that a lot of these people who are working online for social good and for social causes have been, if you like, unintendedly harmed by a number of the crackdowns that have occurred by the platforms and on the platforms.
I'm speaking with Professor Stuart Cunningham from the Queensland University of Technology about the race to regulate content on social platforms and the potential risks of doing so. We also discussed YouTube and their crackdown on advertising, which, as some people understand, generates a fair bit of revenue for some content creators. How has it affected these people that sort of rely on it as a lifestyle?
Well, it's Tom, it's a lifestyle, but it's more than a lifestyle. There are millions of content creators around the world who are deriving a living from this work, from video uploading and attending to and building communities online. So it's a big thing, a very big thing, and it's big in Australia as well as in many other parts of the world. But the point that I raised just before, the so-called adpocalypse, well, what happened here was that the platforms, Google and Facebook in particular, very, very nervous about their advertising revenue being impacted by automatic placement of advertising, main brands, next to totally unacceptable content. So what happened was that they moved so quickly to remove advertising from this kind of content that a lot of people who were working for good causes were caught up in this. So let me give you an example. The game players who play Assassin's Creed, okay? This word assassin becomes a piece of metadata, a piece of data that automatically gets you demonetized. In other words, there is no advertising placed next to your content. So if you play Assassin's Creed online, you're going to be demonetized. But there are even better examples of this, where, for example, main really headline cultural leaders in this space, like Casey Neistat, Philip DeFranco in the US, are seeking to support, for example, the Rohingyan refugees or the Somalian famine, and have had their content demonetized because of certain content that triggers demonetization under the brand safety rules put in place by the platforms. In other words, we've got overkill, where good as well as bad is being indiscriminately caught up in these brand safety campaigns.
How have you observed the way online content is being regulated and governed to be different from how traditional content would be regulated?
Well, this is another very important point. We tend to be told that online is the Wild West. It's completely unregulated. That's not true. And certainly in the US and in Europe, there are very strict rules about online creators having to declare very clearly inside their videos, and sometimes before and after their videos, they must declare whether they are being sponsored, supported by and advertisers. This is fair enough. There's no problem with it. But when you start comparing it to what main media can get away with, think about extraordinary case of Fox News, which has been an incredibly destructive, has had an incredibly destructive and fracturing effect on the American voting system and the body politic. Well, they had a tagline for a decade called "Fair and Balanced." No regulator told them to change that because they clearly weren't fair and balanced, and never really have been since. For a good decade or more. So there are just real anomalies, and often online is unfairly characterized as an unregulated wild west, which it is in fact in many cases is not.
So looking ahead, what are some of your main concerns if this issue of poor or over-regulation isn't fixed? Where could this lead?
Well, my main concern at this point in time is about that large body of particularly young people who are using social media for good. They have been caught up. It's a huge case of unintended consequences. Yes, we need to regulate the platforms with greater effect, but we mustn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We mustn't allow this push to regulation to unfairly impact the lives and livelihoods of these new voices that are using social media for good.